Chaser Report is recorded on Gadigal land.
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is the Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to the Chaser Report. We have Dom Knight and Sammy Shah
once again.
Hello, Sammy.
Hello.
Look, we don't normally do this, but I forgot during our last intro to throw to an ad break. So here's an ad break.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. News you can't trust.
You can avoid those by going to chaser.com.au/podcast. And I think it's $9 a month or some very small amount that we charge for the VIP version.
What do people get in the VIP version other than no ads?
They get no ads and they get extra episodes. But I haven't actually been here, so I don't know if we've been putting them up. So sorry if we haven't, but we'll get back to the. We're supposed to record daily episodes and an extra for the paying subscribers. That said, if anyone of the subscribers is used to dealing with the Chaser, they will know that we always fuck up on our promises. So,
I've done that on my Patreon, where I'm like, I will make all this content. And then I'm like, hi, remember me? Like, thank you for paying my rent. Yeah.
No, I'm a subscriber to your Patreon, and I expected absolutely nothing from the content that I did get. And if you put stand-up shows up on there, they're actually a bonus.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Are you with Optus?
I am with Optus. I've been working in a place where I'm not supposed to say what telco I'm in. Now I can actually vent on this. Let's talk about Optus. Fuck Optus.
All right. So when did you get your email about the hack?
That's a very good question. The problem is I use Gmail, and so it files all the occasionally important emails from people like Optus into the shit marketing updates bit, which is usually an enormously helpful thing.
Yeah.
But on this occasion, I actually missed an important email. So I don't know. What I have been checking is whether I've got the email saying where certain your details have been leaked, in which case you're supposed to go and change your license details. But Optus being Optus, of course, we have no they wouldn't know if our details have been leaked or not. They're fucking hopeless.
Well, that's the crazy thing. So I only got the email a week after the leak happened. And also, we shouldn't even call it a leak or a hack. It was literally someone just discovering that you can go to one web page on Optus's website and just download anything you want to. But here's the thing. Now what do I do? Like, should I switch from Optus? Because technically speaking, Optus is probably now, after this, more secure than anyone else in Australia.
Yeah. I presume all the other telcos are, like, laughing through their asses at Optus but haven't actually bothered to patch their own massive flaws.
Right? Like, I don't know if I trust any of the others anymore. And then also, someone's got my passport, my driver's license, my everything. What do I do? I can't get a new passport.
Well, you actually can. It's just annoying and expensive. And the theory is, I figure that within the next week or so, the government's going to force Optus to pay for some of this shit, at which point the horse will have totally bolted and all of our details will be out there. I mean, the New South Wales government have come up with a brilliant solution, which is that the customer service minister, Victor Dominello, is good with all this tech stuff in general. We've got a customer service minister. It's Orwellian. But anyway, he came out and was like, oh, don't worry. You can go to Service New South Wales, which is an ironically named organisation. But anyway, you can go to Service New South Wales and change your details. It's fine. And then everyone went, Victor, we can get a new card number, but the driver's licence number is the same. Guess which bit of information Optus has about us?
Yeah.
The driver's licence number, not the card number. So it's done absolutely nothing.
So I have the sense of I don't care about my privacy anymore. I gave up. You know, everyone's like, oh, China will get your information. NSA will get your information. Facebook will get your information. I just assume everyone has my information now. I just assume that everything is being watched. Everything's been hacked. There is absolutely nothing in my life that I have any say or control over. And it's quite freeing to live that way.
Are you on TikTok?
No, but not because I have any security or privacy concerns. I just feel like as a 44-year-old man, I have no business being on TikTok.
That's
every time I go on TikTok, the things that the algorithm obviously serves me up, knowing that I'm a 44-year-old man, and it's like, clearly you must be here for thirst traps, and then it's just way too young women in tights. And I'm like, I don't want to look at this. It's weird and creepy. I don't want to be the guy who hangs out outside women's gyms or whatever. So I don't.
Or at least I don't want to be reminded by TikTok that I'm that guy. Yeah.
That I have that capacity to be that guy.
No, I see where you're coming from, because I must say, the thing is, What's Optus going to do? I mean, I'm just going to get more calls from people pretending to be from the NBN when they're obviously not from the NBN. It doesn't seem that bad. I mean, I'd have to say kudos to Charles, who has absolutely no privacy at all, who gave his phone number out on national television at one point.
Did he get calls?
Yes. So what happened was, it was one of the better pranks we've done in recent times. Mm-hmm. There was this whole thing in Sydney where there was a horse race called the Everest, and they put the barrier draw for the horse race on the Sydney Opera House. They projected it onto the Opera House, and Alan Jones organised it all. And there was a lot of outcry saying, look, you're desecrating our cultural, you know, cultural temple with your stupid horse racing. And Alan Jones got really stuck in and all that kind of stuff. So so Charles projected Alan Jones's mobile number onto the Opera House. what he did was, it was quite clever. He had a projector in the truck, and he drove into the bit of the Opera House. You know how you can drive into something and then they make you turn around?
Yes.
While turning around, he stopped for a moment and projected the number onto the Opera House. And it was hilarious. It was something, I can't remember the first four digits, but it was 873873, which is the position on the AM dial of his old radio station. So hilarious. So he had to change that, thanks to us. And then Kerri-Ann Kennelly, I think on Studio 10 or some equally annoying person, said to Charles, how would you like it if your number was made public like that? And Charles said, okay.
Is he going to have to change his number after this?
What's your number? What's your number? Give it to me now.
0419.
0419, yeah.
282.
282.
Are you serious?
188. Yeah, that's my number.
Okay. Is it?
Yeah, you can give me a call if you want.
Charles.
There you go.
Call Charles. There you go.
Oh, here we go. Is that your phone number?
No.
Oh, somebody else is
calling. How about someone calling from...
Hello? Oh, I've got lots of... Oh, no.
Oh, look at all the
ones from 666.
Devil.
No, I think that's Alan Jones, actually.
He got calls and texts for days of people going, you're a legend.
Yeah.
So it appealed to Charles's sense of self.
And narcissism, yes.
And narcissism, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And he got a few people who complained. But no, so he's... I mean, 0419-282-188. If you want to say hello to Charles, I believe I'm allowed to give his number out whenever we want.
I did not know this was a feature we were offering. That's great. I should just put it on my Patreon. I don't care about privacy because I've given up on trying to control it. I've just assumed that they've all had the stuff. But also, like, Alan Jones. Like, why? I don't know. He was on fucking Q&A. Why was he on Q&A? Did you watch it?
Of course not. Nobody watches Q&A.
Exactly.
It's 2022.
Which has lower viewership numbers? His YouTube channel or Q&A? Who's giving whom a platform here?
Actually, I presume he was there to boost Q&A. I presume that's what it was with his YouTube audience or whatever it's called.
Okay, I thought maybe they were hoping that he'd bring some of his YouTube audience over to Q&A because they need it. Yeah,
that's what I thought. Yeah, but I presume, I didn't see it, but I presume it went the way it normally goes, which is that lefties get very confused because there are some issues where he completely agrees with them. Like I remember on fracking, on a few things, they're like, oh, Alan Jones is, because he's so strident. That if he says something you agree with, he's going, oh, Alan, amazing. You're so articulately put. And then suddenly he goes back to some rant about, you know, political correctness or something. And then all the lefties were like, oh, that's right.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he had opinions about voice to parliament and all that, which no one needs to hear what Alan Jones thinks about any of those things. But yeah, I don't know. This whole Optus thing has me so confused because everyone's really upset and outraged and everything by this. I'm just... don't feel very bothered.
But also, your details are probably public already. Like I bet I could find your date of birth on the internet easily.
Yeah. That's not a problem. And you can probably now find my... But also, like, it's like people are like, and then they can hack into your accounts.
And your phone number is... me. Your phone number is 0414 hate Queensland. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, of course. That's a given. I specifically pay $1,000 a month to the government just to keep that number. Yeah, I don't know. Like, do you care? Now that all your information is out there?
It just seems completely normal. I mean, I'm constantly getting calls from people who are, hi, Dom, do you want to hear about an exciting investment opportunity? I'm like, you're wasting your time on this for so many reasons. I wouldn't say yes, even if I did have the money to invest in your stupid thing.
I get calls from Muslim schools.
Oh.
And I don't know why. I don't know how they know that I'm
Pakistani.
You.
They've profiled you, but not quite well enough.
No, exactly. But then also, I don't want to just be rude to them or anything. I feel bad. So I just pretend like I'm a white guy who doesn't know what language they're speaking. Because they'll call up and they'll be like, Assalamualaikum, aapko is school ke baare mein. And I'll be like, sorry. sorry, I don't understand what you're saying. Sorry.
Is that your Australian accent?
No.
Please tell me that's your...
I don't know what it is. It's just like my generic white accent.
Your white accent.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, no, so, I that you'd get hung up on with that voice, I think.
Yeah, it works. Never have to sign up to a Muslim school yet.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Chaser Report. News a few days after it happens.
I must say, my general approach is heavy-handed sarcasm, which because of the cultural barrier that sometimes is in place, it lasts for a good 2 or 3 minutes before the penny drops. And they usually say, fuck you, and hang up.
But I also feel bad for them. I feel like they're just doing a job and, you know.
I mean, to what extent? It's a tough one for me because these are people who are obviously desperate and poor.
Yes.
Who are doing this stuff. But they know they're committing fraud, right? Like, there are people who are struggling who don't. I mean, I don't know at what point they could get another job that didn't involve trying to rip people off. I don't know how to feel about that.
I mean, we're satirists who ask people to pay money to our Patreon. I'm pretty sure we're committing fraud at some
That's
point.
That's actually where probably worse. Because we don't provide them the things that we say.
Exactly. On the moral scale, I think they're more defensible than we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, look, at least also they probably need the money to eat. Hang on, so do we.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't that bothered because, yeah, like you, I assume... Like, I know the information's out there. The amount of spam that I get that has my name on it, it's clearly out there already.
Exactly. Yeah.
I just want...
What's the closest you've ever come to being scammed?
Some of the first texts with links to, like, you got to pay your overdue, I don't know, whatever it was, toll subscription or something like that. I nearly went for that. That did sound like the kind of... Because it looked like... Because I've got such low respect in the abilities of government authorities to send sensitive messages. It looked... Incredible! Like the typos looked authentically New South Wales government to me.
Okay,
so that was pretty close. But no, I don't think I've ever actually been scammed into giving over money.
I almost at one point gave $10,000. Like I had my card out, and this was so I had just moved to Australia. I'd been in Australia for 6 months or something at the time. We were living in Northam. My partner at the time had gone to work. She used to go to work at 7:30 in the morning. I was getting my daughter ready for her school. And, you know, I'm getting her dressed super early in the morning. The phone rings, I answer the phone, and it's this guy says, we're calling from the Australian Taxation Office, and you've been found to be guilty of committing tax fraud, and we're sending the police over right now. And I'm like, shit. I've only been in this country 6 months, and I didn't know about the tax stuff in Australia at all, because in Pakistan, you don't pay taxes. So I've never paid taxes before until I moved to Australia. So I'm like, maybe I have accidentally committed tax fraud. And I start panicking, and I'm like, listen, I have to drop my kid to school. Can you at least wait until I drop my kid to school and come back, and then you can arrest me? Like, I don't understand what to do. And
that's a very, very important point. I think people should be arrested only after dropping their kids at school.
That's reasonable. What I figured. It's less traumatizing for the kid, is what I think. Yeah. Anyway, and then they say, yes, look, here's what you can do. There's a fee amount you're supposed to pay. If you pay that fee amount, we'll call the police, tell them not to come, and you can then maybe go down to the police station later and sort that out. I was like, what's the fee amount? And they're like, it's $10,000. And I was like, that's like most of our savings at this point. We just moved to Australia. That's all we have left, really. But I'm like, it's better than go to jail. And then I remember there's a friend of mine who's a comedian in Perth who's a tax guy. And I was like, oh, actually, let me call him up. And I told this person, I'm like, hey, let me just get my tax friend on. He's good with this stuff. And they're like, give us the number. We'll talk to him. So I give his number. But here's where they screw up. It's a man with a very heavy Indonesian accent on the other end, right? And I'm like thinking Australia is a multicultural country. It's so wonderful that the Indonesian guy is getting a job in the tax department. what a celebration of our multiculturalism as I'm about to go to jail. And
you were still very new to Australia in those days, weren't you?
Yeah. And they basically, they say that man is now going to call you and tell you what to do next. Your friend. And then they pretended to be my friend, but it was just the same guy with the same Indonesian accent. Now pretending, and I was like, that's when it fell apart. But literally at that moment, I had my wallet out and my car ready. So
which goes to show how often it must work. I mean, for that industry to actually exist, yeah, like they must get one. Like, we're in quite a long way to this scam already. Let's just pretend to be his friend. Hi, Sammy, this is your friend Pete.
Even they must have been like, he can't be this dumb. I'm going to try and save him from himself by making this really obvious.
But if he is this dumb, my God, we've just had a very good payday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I would have earned that loss, personally, is what I think. Yeah, there we go.
That's an amazing story. And so at what point did you realize that Australia wasn't that kind of multicultural paradise?
Oh, just when I continued living here past the first 6 months,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, hang on, you said that there's no tax in Pakistan. You haven't
no,
never
there
paid
is tax.
Before.
No one pays it. Like, how? Your job.
That sounds like a brilliant idea.
I mean, basically, what it is the reason why Pakistan's a mess, right? Because there's no tax collection system that works.
Well, I mean,
there's
no money for infrastructure or basic services. But as against that, you don't have to pay any tax.
Yeah, I would rather pay tax. I love paying tax. Look at everything I get for it. This is amazing. My Medicare is covered. You know, my child gets free, like, public school education. The roads are good. I will pay more tax happily if it means more free shit from the government. I have the opposite approach to tax.
That does sound quite good. I mean, if only people who earn more than you make out of comedy, if any of them had the same view, if any billionaires, for instance, were like, yeah, look, you know what, I'm happy to contribute to the society that's been so good to me.
Don't make it about contributing to society. People are inherently selfish. I want to contribute more so I can get more free shit. Also, I don't trust myself with money. If you leave that money with me, I'll just buy vintage watches or some dumb shit like that. Take 70% of my income and give me everything free instead. I'm down with that. I can have
You know
that.
What they should have? They should have something where, let's say you're a very wealthy person and you don't manage to minimize your tax. Mm-hmm. There's some sort of VIP lounge, right? Like, those people at the hospital get the sort of trinket bullshit that they like. Like, there's a little waiting room with a velvet rope, and the billionaires who actually pay tax get to go in the VIP waiting room. They don't get any better treatment. They might get slightly better snacks, or in fact, any snacks, and a velvet rope. Why don't we con them the same way that like, every private, you know, members club or whatever cons them?
Well, instead of penalizing people for not paying tax, if you reward people for paying tax, you're more likely to get people paying tax. I think
should
I
we
think
name things
it.
After them? Like, if you pay that much tax, you can have like a seat at the football stadium, or maybe a really pissy park named after you.
Like, what would I would? I would like a bench at any park. I don't even give a shit which park. I want a
That's
bench
good.
Named after me.
I'd like a bench. Right. I'm probably not going to pay enough tax to deserve one, but I might get like a pebble. You know, like a pebble
garden.
I can garden.
Live with the pebble. Yeah, yeah. You know, you can buy a star and have it in your name and it's bullshit and it doesn't actually happen. But they should do that. Everyone gets a star.
So Twiggy Forrest and Gina Reinhardt, if they actually pay enough tax to fund a school, would I want my child to go to Gina Reinhardt Public School? Oh, God.
Yeah, that's true. Which is worse,
the Reinhardt
Twiggy
Academy.
Foresters. She did write poetry, didn't she, at one point, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, no, there's some excellent stuff. Maybe she can have, like, an online scammy school named after her. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think we've solved it. We've solved taxes in Australia. Dope. Well done.
Give them trinkets. Thank you very much, Sammy. You can subscribe to Sammy's podcast, News Weekly, with an A. And our gear is from Rode. We're part of the Acast Creator Network. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.